It's good to be in the house of the Lord, and I can see the smiley faces being in the house of the Lord, and it's real joy always to meet God and to have encounter with God, and also to have fellowship with the people who love God. So it's an amazing thing to hear about what God is doing in our lives as well. It's good testimony to hear from Auntie Shola, and I'm sure every one of us has one or the other way to testify what God has been doing in our lives. So I praise God that God has given me this opportunity today to speak to you about what God has laid on my heart to share. Sometimes it becomes very difficult when you have been planning and preparing that, you know, I have to give a good sermon that everybody can hear and everybody can learn, and or something that they can grasp from. But sometimes it becomes very difficult when God says to you, you know what? You got to learn the basics first. And that's where I was stuck again. So I just want to go through a few very basic things that God has given me to speak to you about. Before we go into the sermon, I would just like to start with something here. I read a story. A teacher in a class asks his students, if I sold my house and my car, had a big garage sale, and gave all my money to the church, would I get into heaven? A teacher asked the children in her Sunday school class. No, the children all answered. If I cleaned the church every day, mowed the yard, and kept everything neat and tidy, would I get into heaven? Again, the answer was no. Well, she continued, then how can I get to heaven? A 5-year-old boy shouted out, you got to be dead. So it's easy to look at the things which are high above and all, but you know what? The basic thing is, until you die, you don't go to heaven. The simple fact, what the children can teach to us than the adults who have, where we miss what the basic things are. And here I'm just going to look at few things. We have not gathered here to have a good time. We are not here to have a laugh and all. Yes, we are part of it, enjoying the fellowship, being with the Lord. Laughter is part of it, to be in the house of the Lord and be joyful. And yes, that's all part of it. But this gathering is not meant to be a good time. But here, we have come here to have an encounter with Most High God. An encounter with the Son who gave Himself for me and for you. To have an encounter with the Holy Spirit who convicts us to day-to-day lives and also gives us that strength to carry on for who we are. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, that you gave your Son for us. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit who has been leading us, guiding us thus far. And I pray that, Lord, it will continue to speak to us. It will continue to just help us to understand, Lord. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit will make room in everybody's heart. And that we will also be able to make a room for you to move. And we just want to glorify your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Right. If we look at one thing before the sermon starts as well. Acts chapter 16, verses 14 to 15. Acts chapter 16, verses 14 to 15. The Lord opened her heart. This is about Lydia, a woman who was listening to when they are saying. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. This is Paul writing. I mean, Luke is writing about Paul when Paul gave the message here, and he says, the Lord opened Lydia's heart to respond to Paul's message. And today I would like to pray to say, let God open your heart. Let God open your heart to respond to the message that God gave me to deliver. It might be very basic, it might be very thing that you know, but Lydia did not just listen and respond. She also asked them to go and visit, and she persuaded. So she took an action about what she heard and learned. Right, what I'm going to share about today, what is that God gave me? So much I'm talking about that let God open your heart to respond to the message that I'm going to deliver today, or God has given me to deliver today. Right, it comes in with your move. It is about your move. We have been praying and we have been asking God, Lord, bless this church, let your Holy Spirit lead this church, and we want to be here doing what we want to be here. One thing, it's been a cry of my heart for the last week, was if Jesus is the center for us, how do we respond it to? How do we do these things, what we are supposed to be doing? And I was going through some reading and I heard something here. I would just like to connect it. I'll come back to what is about it's your move. I'd like to look at what Martin Luther King said. Martin Luther King said, until a man finds something to die for, he has nothing to live for. Until a man finds something to die for, he has nothing to live for. We are looking at so many things that are happening all around the world now. Christians are, if we talk about the Christianity, is the most persecuted, if we put it in religion, in terms, in the whole wide world. And we are talking about these people. I don't want to mention the names whom we support, the missionaries whom we support. They are in a very, very dangerous situation. This couple goes into the places where nobody goes. And knowing that, if I am caught by the authorities, if I am caught by these people, that's the end of their lives. Maybe they could be persecuted and prosecuted and be in there, or maybe jailed. In their countries, there wouldn't be any shadow of them. But still, they go out. Still, they're traveling around the world, preaching the good news. Preaching Jesus. Preaching the gospel. But then I thought, you know what, and the other day we had a discussion as well, Suresh and I and ourselves, we were praying and fasting. It was three of us while we are in a meeting there. And we were talking about Paul, who had everything, with one encounter with God, left everything. And then he knew. He was searching and he was doing whatever, kind of persecuting Christians. But then he found something he can die for. Then he found something he could lay his whole life for. Then he found something, you know what, whatever I have been doing is not worth, but now I know that I found something I can die for. Peter, he did the same. I know that I found something I can die for. Stephen, the first one, yes, I know that I found what I can die for. It did not just die for it. When you know and when you have found something which you die for, you live for it. If you have found something that you can die for, then you will live for it. That's what these guys did. When they came to know that one thing I found is about Jesus, whom I can die for. One thing I can find is to preach the gospel. That's what they lived for. Knowing the situation where they're going to be, but they exactly know what they can die for. What is it that you die for today? What is it that convicts you? Yes, this is something I can die for. These people who have been actually their throats slit and beheaded, and they are still there saying, Jesus, you are the Lord. Why are they so ready to sacrifice their lives? Because they understood the principle of something they could find, what they could die for. And that's what their life has been. And what are you dying for today? Is that your career? Is that your health? Is that your family? Is that your work? Let me put it, is that your ministry? What is it you're dying for? Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Paul says, but my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. I've been crying out, Lord, if only you could give me the same heart if I can pray the same prayer. I'm crying out to Lord, Lord, would you strengthen me to pray the same prayer? That, Lord, my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it to finishing the work that you have assigned me for. What is that God has assigned you with? What is it God has called you for? What is it, knowingly, still you know it, you are a Christian, you have followed Christ. I don't want to preach how to get to heaven. I'm not going to preach how to get to heaven, because it's easy and simple. But I want to tell you something. How can we preach the good news? How can you be a good news? How can you be a witness? Because we all accepted Christ. We have all salvation. I'm not going to talk about how to get to heaven. But what is it God called for you, that where you can lay down your life for? Are we really ready that we can lay down our life for our town, Hemel Hempstead, if it comes to? Are we really crying out for our nation, where it is such a turmoil at the moment? How much are we really looking into and seeking God, interceding about what should happen? What is it that God laid on your heart? It's easy to kind of carry on saying, right, you know what? It's good to preach. I'm coming here on a Sunday. I'm having this good time. But is that what all you're dying for? Is that all your life is worth, to be in a church on a Sunday? It's going to be a challenging sermon, because it's always going to be, as I was saying, it was a cry for me when I was going through this. And I have to ask God for forgiveness in terms of, yes, Lord, knowing what I am called for, knowing your calling, is my life worth that I have put? What is the priority? It's just very simple, Paul says, the work of telling others the good news about wonderful grace of God. Grace of God, that's what we need. How are we taking it to our town, our neighbors, our loved ones? What is our mission about? Right, we will be saying, right, you know what, we can't preach, we can't teach, we can't really share the gospel. Let me look at somebody else. It is here Charles Spurgeon who says, Every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. Imposter is a word. I put the definition as well. A person who pretends to be someone else in order to deceive others, especially for fraudulent gain. That's hard. That's hard. To make a statement to say, you know what, either you are a missionary or you are fraudulent. Or you're an imposter. And I thought, how can you be a missionary? How can you be an evangelist? How is it possible when I can't preach, teach, or anything? It's quite simple. The Word of God says, your life should be a letter that people can read. It's a witness at your workplace, with your neighbors, how you deal with the situations. How is it? It's not about the gift. It's about the character. I was in a training yesterday, and one of the trainers said, he gave us so many, 31 attributes in few verses. And out of the 31, 20 talk about character in New Testament. And 10 talk about lifestyle. Only one talks about gift. And if you are talking about a gift, we need to probably put it aside for a minute. If I come here because of my gift, you all people know my life. What I am saying from here does not correspond to my character and my attitude. You wouldn't be here sitting listening to me. And you shouldn't. The gift plays one part to say what I am, who I am, and who made me to be who I am. And I'm not asking everybody to take Bible and go out there and preach. But to build a character, to build an attitude where we love Christ. Christ is the one I can die for. Christ is the one I live for. How do we develop that character? How do we get that? It is only through the intimacy with Jesus Christ. The intimate relationship with Christ to say, Lord, I love you. Jesus, I want to speak to you in every day of my life. I want you to be my ruler. I want you to be the person who takes me from one place to other. And it really clearly, we have sung the song where it says, my Father, and then about the Son and the Holy Spirit who leads us. So we have Holy Spirit who convicts us, leads us, and guides us on a day-to-day basis. But what is our relationship with Jesus? How strong are we? If that relationship, if we don't have that intimacy, I can't say I can die for someone. When somebody asked me the question, whom do I die for? Usually, or I read some responses on a blog. Whom do you die for? Martin Luther King stated this. Who do you agree? And there will be some blogs there. I went there. It's so interesting to listen to what people actually are passionate about. What they are passionate about. Somebody for a game that they are passionate about, that they would die to play this game. I'm thinking, is that what your life is worth? And that somebody would die to go and see somebody singing, a celebrity. And I'm thinking, is that what your life is worth for? And where does our life worth? Where is the worth of our life lie in when we talk about? So So your character, your attitude, how you pose also gives the worth of your life in what you put in. Probably my answer would have been yes. The first thing, if I have to lay down my life, I would probably say it's for my family. Most of the answers would be family. Why do I lay down my life for my family? The simple, straight answer, which was already given by Jesus, is because I love them. Until you love somebody, you can't lay down your life for someone. If you are not loving your neighbors enough to lay down your life, you can't bring them to Christ. If you are not loving your town enough to lay down your life, you can't bring them to Christ. We might be preaching, talking, saying about everything. Yes, Lord, we are praying. Yes, Lord, give me this. Yes, Lord, give me a spirit. Are you ready to lay down your lives? Do you love so much that you can lay down your life? Whoever is died, we are talking about them, we are talking about the disciples, we are talking about the apostles, we are talking about the martyrs, we are talking about those people who are giving their lives because they love Jesus to the point they can lay down their life. They love the country that God has given burden for them. These people, these missionaries went out. People who came from Britain, they came out to India, Africa, different countries, knowing they are going to die. Knowing the diseases which are not curable. Knowing there might be people who might be killing them. No health and safety, nothing there. They still went out because they had love of Jesus. And we sing the songs, Lord, if I only can see what you see, if I only love what you love. God loves all. Whom do you love? Whom do you love? If we look into that attitude of what God has given us to look at, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. It is quite challenging, but let me encourage you. Who are you? What are you today? What is your life worth for? What is your life revolving around? And where do you lay your life down? Romans chapter 10, verse 14 to 15. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. And we are talking about Hemel Hempstead to be saved. Who are we sending? And who is going? We are a lovely church worshiping God. It's beautiful how we are worshiping. We are praising him. How much are we going out? And we talk, they're not going to come in. Yes, God sends those who can come in. Yes, people are coming in, but there are more people to be reached out there than to come in. Then how will they hear the good news if they are not sent? How will those people hear the good news if we don't send? I wouldn't have been here today talking about love of God if somebody hasn't come to India. Maybe it started with Thomas who came there, but somebody went. Somebody was sent out. Somebody had made a sacrifice. Got the priorities to say, this is what I die for. Who are we sending? Where are we going? If we are talking about 96,000 people, over 96,000 people in Hemel Hempstead, I think it's even more now, whenever I see out there so many people moving out of London and coming here, I know it's a pain that they are bringing the prices up in properties and they are bringing the prices in rent and all those. But let them come, because we have the more opportunity. And we are talking about, you know, darkness. We don't know where we are going with Brexit, and I'm not going to talk about that. But even if in those cases, if in those darkest moment, you are called to be the light and salt. When does the light shine bright? When it's dark. So don't expect to be light around and you shine. Your light does not shine. Go to the darkest place to make your light shine. It shines brighter. Whenever you get a light and touch it, if I put it in here, it doesn't work. I need to go to a darkest place to see how bright it shines. Let me encourage you to make your light shine, but not in a wrong place. Neither you recognize it, nor anybody else recognizes. If you shine the light in the light, go and shine it in the dark, where it's needed. Show path to those people who need to see the light. Open it up to there. Switch it on where it's needed to direct them to love of God. Mark chapter 16, verses 19 to 20. When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor and God's right hand. And the disciples went everywhere and preached. The Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. Let me tell you this. I just wanted to read where Jesus is. Jesus has already finished talking with them. He was taken up to heaven. Where is he now? He's seated at the right-hand side of God. He's done his task. And he's there. And I think probably now when I'm reading Bible, John 17 is one of the most favorite chapters now, because you know Jesus prayed for me in that chapter, and Jesus also says that he shares his glory with me if I am in him. Please, I encourage you to read that, John chapter 17. Anyway, he is seated at the right hand, and the disciples went everywhere and preached. They did not preach at certain selected places. They went everywhere. And probably season or unseason. Everywhere, every time or any time they preached. I mean, at my workplace, just recently, I mean, I had this opportunity, and they're asking to start a group to pray for our work and to start it at our workplace. And everybody knows that I'm a Christian. Everybody knows, yes, Joel, you are different. Everybody knows that I say, bless you. And everybody knows that, you know, I love Jesus. That's the most important thing. Because I want to take every opportunity to share the gospel. I want to say, if somebody's asking, yes, God bless you, and I hope, and can I pray? Offering. Unless you offer, they don't know what you have. Because they expect, if somebody meets someone, they expect you are in the same boat as them. But unless you offer something you have, they don't know what you have. So offer them. This one thing I want to say If you are praying for a miracle, let's stop it. Let's do the other way around. Let's not make the gospel as a relief work. Our gospel is not a relief work that we go around and say, you know what, let me give you this, or let me give you something to meet your needs. That comes as a part. But the important part of it is Jesus. When you preach the word, the Lord confirms, as you can see the word, the Lord worked through them. When you preach the word, Lord worked through them, confirming what they said, and with many miraculous signs. If you are asking for a miracle, preach the good news. Jesus brings miracles. Miracles don't bring Jesus. Let's take Jesus. Yes, people will be touched. Some people who don't believe still get healed. Miracles happen. But the main thing that happened is to preach the gospel. To preach Jesus, not miracles. Miracles will follow when we preach Jesus. And the last one I would like to look into is saying, right, okay, how do I start? Where do I start? What do I do? Yes, it's good to hear, good to preach. It's quite basic. Is there any verse that I kind of shared you today that you are not aware of? Everybody knew this. I'm sure at one or the other time, everybody looked at these verses and know that. But this is what God laid on my heart. Before you got to be in heaven, you got to be dead. Before you just go for something else, you got to have your basic of where our heart is, what we die for. And the third one, Winky Pratney, he says, God is looking for willing hearts. God has no favorites. You do not have to be special, but you have to be available. How many of us are available? I don't want to put you on the spot, but yes. If I ask the question next, I might ask Josh to come forward to take a picture. So I can put it there. You said you are available. That's the witness. Can we do that again, please? How many of us are available? Well, there were less than the last time. Definitely. God is looking for a willing heart. It's just, yes, Lord, I'm available. Who wants to go? Send me Jesus. Who wants to be there? Send me, Lord. Let me confess something here. You might be thinking, Joel, we know you as well when you are working. And now, being a pastor now, it's easy for you to say, because you are here and you encourage us this. Before I became a pastor, assistant pastor here, still my heart was on missions. And it is still today. But one thing that changed or still changing me is the intimacy with God. How much I love Him. We sang a song, my lips will say how much I love you, Lord, and I love you, Lord. He is good. When you taste Him and see, it just makes you to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's why I'm loving my Lord even more every day. I can say, yes, I'm growing in what God is changing me to be. Who I was a couple of months ago, I can confidently say I'm not the same today. Where my failings were 2 years ago, 2 months ago, God knows them all. God knows my weaknesses. But I'm confident to say He loves me even more. Because the way you feel, it's not just a physical feeling, but the confidence, the trust He gives you. When you put your life into His hands and say, Lord, I'm available now. I've run enough behind the things that I shouldn't have. I know. But I live and I'm available. That's where the turning point is. It's changing. I did say I'm available. Like raising my hand in a big meeting, knowing nobody will recognize me again. But I raised my hand in secret. I raised my hand behind a closed door. I raised my hand in a car, not while driving, just to make sure. Yes. And said, Lord, I'm available. And when you know you are available, you will see the opportunities. When you know you are not available, either you pretend to be no opportunities or you ignore the opportunities. When you are available, you look for it. How many of you have got jobs here? Like working, right? This one, I say. How many of you are looking for the jobs from you who raised hands? Okay, one is looking for the job. Why am I asking that question? Because you have a job, so you don't look for it. When your heart is right, I don't want to do it, you don't look for it. When you're not available, you don't look for it. But when you are available, when you don't have a job, you look for jobs. Just the availability, because you are available to look for them. So if you said you are available, there is opportunity. And let me list out some. Before that, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Who knows this? Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Who knows this? Right, let me remind you. This is the best part of the Bible, and I didn't have to say anything. I just have to say God loves you and read this. My computer doesn't know it. Matthew chapter 28 verse 18. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commandments I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Because those people to whom Jesus' ministry was handed to, they believed in what Jesus said, that He will be with us to the ends of the age. I would just like to remind you the same, that Jesus is saying He will be with us to the ends of the age. But also, He commanded us, go and make disciples of all nations. And it's one of the beauties of this church is the multicultural church. multinations, everyone who has got passion, they can pray for the community here where you live. And as a part of the Great Commission, you can also pray and be available for those from the home country. It can't be just, it has to be, yeah, as somebody said this, it has to be local where you start, where you live. And also it's global, where you come from, where you can reach. And so that it becomes global. So it has to be local and global, so that we are available. I would just like to end in reminding a few things here. Where do we start? If you are available, as you mentioned, as you raised your hand, I'm just going to keep on going with that. Yes, my retina is sharper than the lens in the camera. So, when he said, there are opportunities. We have got young group, young lions, 11 to 16s, who need volunteers. Opportunity. I know the Sunday school, they need more as well. There is opportunity. Young adults, opportunity. We've got another opening I want to praise God for. That on 23rd of November, I'm going into a school. And on 3rd of December, I'm going into a school. Developing a ministry to be in schools. That's available. Befriending ministry, being developed, available. Visiting ministry is being developed, available. Going out, sharing the love of God, preaching, leafleting, one-to-one, it's available. Are you available? Missions. Yes, as I was saying to somebody, I think, Yemi and Josh, when we are speaking, yes, by the way, Yemi wants to go to Pakistan as well, he mentioned, but no, it was a joke, it wasn't. We do have missional opportunities to go to India to serve in orphan kids and the villages in rural parts. There is an opportunity. And there is an opportunity to serve a school in Uganda. Rukenjeri is one where we support, but there is also another school where we are building connections with. Where do you fit in? What is the area that God has called you? Which one makes you to think, right, this is the area probably that I die for and I would like to live for? And above all, I would just like to say, it's not for the sake of just reaching out, doing it, or for the sake of doing. It is for the love of Christ. To share the love of Jesus is the ultimate thing. You might be doing as many or whatever the things are, but I would just like to remind you, it is Jesus who died on the cross for us. If I had to answer for the question what Martin Luther King said about, until a man finds something to die for, he has nothing to live for. Jesus did have, but still he chose to come and die for you and me. Jesus is the first missionary, if I have to say. He is the one who started. And he is the one who sent us. And as he has also equipped us to say, the Holy Spirit, Father will send the Holy Spirit. And we do have Holy Spirit. I would just like to leave you there in questioning yourself today, if you aren't quite sure of what God has called you, maybe thinking about it and say, Lord, what is it that I can die for? What is the area? Which country is that God laid on your heart that you can die for? Which group is it? Yes, everybody needs to show love. As passionate as I am about orphans, probably I am not as passionate about some other group, elderly people. As passionate as I am about widows, I'm probably not as passionate about people who are in other situations. But God laid something in your heart. God laid something that you know what you're passionate about. That one thing that you can die for. One thing you can lay your life for. It's only you can look at it. It's only you. It is your move. It's all available. When it comes, it is all comes to. It is your move now. You have to take that step to see where you fit in. What has God called you? We are quite comfortable in the things that we get, but people laying their down, lives down. I just like to take this opportunity as well, as we are in here. Maybe if I could ask you to stand, maybe if you want to sit down, but reflecting, Lord, would you open that? As we looked at, God opened her heart so that she could respond. I would just like you to look at this as well. If you are asking God, He's God who answers. Lydia, when she heard the message, she responded to it. She opened her heart and responded to it. What is your response today? In the race of the life, ending it by suffering cheerfully and joyfully for Christ. And Paul's Christian course and race, which he began at his conversion, ending that with a joyful prospect of being with Christ in endless eternity. The course of Paul's ministry, sealing that with his blood and rejoicing that he was counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. And he says, I have fought a good fight and I have finished my race. For the race you are called into, can we be confident to say, I have finished my race. I have fought a good fight. I'm worth dying and living for Christ. I can lay down a few hours to do more. I can give up my comfort to be passionate about my town. I can give up the area where I need not to be and use it for the glory of God. And preached the gospel to bear a constant and public testimony. To it at death, as in life, and faithfully to declare that he calls not only the gospel or good news of salvation, but the gospel of grace, which we are saved by grace. Can we share it along those people who need it to be, who are in desperate situations, who are lonely, who are fighting suicidal thoughts, who are very depressed, who are stuck in a situation that they can't come out, feeling there is no hope anymore. We can't see next day or next hour. Can we take the good news? And there is grace. It is free. The grace that God has given is free. But somebody has to pay for it. Somebody has to pay for it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus